tests. We're winding down the Megillah. Okay, let's start from Pasuk Chav Tes. Okay, let's start from Pasuk Chav Tes. Perik Tes, Pasuk Chav Tes. Vatichtov. Vatichtov Esther Hamalka Vasavichayel L'mordechai Yehudi Es Kol Toikef L'kayem Es Igeres HaPurim HaZos HaShenis. Okay, so Esther Hamalka, the daughter of Avichayel, Mordechai HaYehudi, they wrote, it's called Toikef. What does it mean, Toikef? Toikef means the entire... Toikef, it's a hard word to translate. Toikef shel nes. Toikef means the entire power, the essence, the power. Toikef Rashi Taiches, they wrote down in this book, look at the Rashi, Pasuk Chav Tes, Toikef shel nes, shel Achashverosh, v'shel Haman, v'shel Mordechai, v'shel Esther. Four different players. Rashi here is coming to Fataych. The essence of the Megillah includes four major figures. Achashverosh, I'm not sure if it's the Gemara's order, I'm not sure, but these are, what is the kasha, look at the Sifsei Chachamim, the kasha es toikef miboyle, what's my kol toikef? He's Karashi, Rashi's coming to answer why the pasuk has the additional word es kol toikef. So he's coming to say there are four different partners in this miracle. And don't, if you would not see this Rashi, you may think that the Iker part of the Megillah is Mordechai, or maybe that it's called Megillas Esther, it's Esther. Maybe Achashverosh was just, you know, a necessary evil. It was not necessarily part of main, major essence of the miracle. No, Rashi over here goes on to say that in the miracle, you look at the miracle, there are four major players, Achashverosh, there is Haman, there is Mordechai, the Esther. This is what is written into the Megillah. Lekayim, to fulfill Esi Geres, Sapurim, Hazos, Hashenis. So what does Rabbi Rashi say? Hashenis, Lashona, Hashnia, Chazhu, Vesholchu, Sefarim, Sheyasu, Purim. The second year, Hashenis, there was another letter sent in the anniversary of the first year to the entire Klal Yisrael that they should observe Purim. Do not make them sick and think that it should be done, that Purim should come to an end. That's the Pshanis Pasek. The Geres, Hapurim, Hazos, Hashenis, Klal Yisrael should observe. Now, the Mepharshim explained why was it necessary for Esther to send a letter to the entire Klal Yisrael that they should observe Purim the following year. So the explanation given by so many commentators is because they were afraid. They were afraid to flaunt their Yiddishkeit in Berabim, and especially to celebrate the fact that they survived and their enemies were destroyed. If you think about it, we know today we don't like to go out in the... today it's a little bit different, but Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, going back probably, he was Niftim almost 30 years ago, so it was well known that he was very against wearing a talis in the street on Shabbos. Shabbos, when you go to shul, you don't walk to shul wearing a talis over your jacket. In a nice spring, summer day, you have to realize you're in Golus. And that the fact that we're here in America, the Goyim, they tolerate us. And if you're going to show your Yiddishkeit by wearing in the street a talis, it's going to raise eyebrows, and it's not going to be good for Klal Yisrael. This is a mentality that a lot of the Gedolim.
Yeah.
Nicht unsere Medina. So this was his attitude. Today you don't see that. Today you walk on Shabbos in the streets. Everyone.
Some people that won't wear a towel. I would think Paris, wouldn't
you? Don't wear a towel. You don't wear a towel. Not in the streets. Sure, but you will not wear a towel in the streets. But unfortunately, the younger generation does not have. The younger generation, they don't have this. You're from the younger generation. I mean, the kids, the kindelach. They don't have this attitude. You see, they just walk in the street, and then first from exactly the point where the people were afraid to celebrate Purim. What are we going to go? Are we going to take off from work? We're going to tell them we're not going to work. It's not enough that we're off for Pesach, we're off for Sukkot, we're taking off for Shabbos. You have another holiday. You have another holiday. I remember someone told me that he works, and there's a person who's not religious, and he takes pride in knowing that there's a holiday called Shmini. Shmini. Like, oh, like in the middle of the summer. Oh, you're not coming to work today? oh, because it's a holiday, right? It's a Jewish holiday. I know what it is. Shemini. Like, he figured, he learned once upon a time something called Shemini Atzeres, and every time a Jew takes off from work, he suspects they're taking off work because they're observing the holiday called Shemini. Okay, so this was obviously a very big problem. Esther went and she had to twist the arms of Klal Yisrael. Don't be afraid. She used here, even though Rashi does not say this, Rashi says that she wrote the Megillah. The Megillah expresses the toikif of the nes, of Mordechai, of Esther, of Haman HaChashverosh, but other commentators explain that toikif over here means that she used her full power. She used her power, her legal power, to protect Klal Yisrael from any discrimination or any harm that may come their way for observing the Yom Tov of Purim. In other words, it was by law, there's no work on this day. Just like there's no work, there's a federal holiday on Martin Luther King Day, it's a federal holiday, it's a federal holiday on Purim. And therefore, that would give them the opportunity, okay, that would give them the opportunity to observe, for everyone to observe the Yom Tov.
Megillah Zohar says very interestingly, not exactly the same thing, but he says that Mordechai was Mishakel all the Simcha. She was, it says, Lekayem is called Divrei, or Lekayem is Higeris HaPurim, that it was only through her that the mitzvah to actually read the Megillah was.
And she made the Megillah.
She made the Megillah.
Mordechai made the Meshalach Manos, and
this is what Mordechai did, but to read the Megillah and make it necessary to read it, that was
her. Very interesting. That's what he wants to write. Okay, now there's an important point of view. Why is the Megillah called Megillas Esther? This pasuk really is teaching us, this is the Makar, why it's called Megillas Esther. We live in a world today, you know, a woman is not allowed to appear in public. Okay, you don't see a woman.
FJJ.
Okay, you're not allowed to have a woman.
The FJJ, though.
No, you don't see. In the Haredi world, women are always called Kavuda Bas Melech Penima. So it is a bit surprising. It's a bit surprising that the Megillah is called by Esther's name, but Megillas Esther. If we were enacting this law today, you can bet your bottom dollar that it would be called Megillas Mordechai, or would be called Megillas Purim. They would not. It would say it's not snios. It's not. It's not. It's not the way we do things today. We give women a lot of credit. They support. They support our families. They do everything. The women do everything. They're far superior than the men, but not in public. Don't embarrass the men. Keep the women behind the scenes. It's bad enough the women are servants of the men are servants of the women. Don't rub it in, right? Isn't that the attitude? So yet Chazal did not look at it in that fashion. They had no problem calling it Megillas Esther, and it's called Ivatichtoiv Esther. Esther took the lead. It says very clearly she took the lead in having this miracle recorded.
And simply, title also.
Well, she was the queen, but still in Yados, you know, we don't we put women. Women are always. Called Kavuda Bas Melech Penima. So from the very simple reading of the pasuk, it indicates that Esther was the one who took the lead in demanding that it be written, it be recorded. Even though it be recorded. Now other mafarsh, they say a little bit different. It was definitely recorded by Mordechai. It was written by the Anshei Knesses HaGadol living at this time. But what it means is she demanded that it should be part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh. It should be part of the canon. It should be canonized. It should be part of, they know there are many books that did not make it in. There's some very, you know who's a very big expert on this, Schneer Leiman is a very big book, I'm very big expert on the books that did not make it into the canon.
The Apocrypha,
which includes the Sefer HaMakabim. Why is Sefer HaMakabim any different than Megillas Esther? L'choy was also written with Ruach HaKodesh. He has a whole long list. They're very fast, and we didn't even know about these books. It's not even something that even crossed our mind. These are very, very holy books. They were written with Chochmah. They were written maybe in the Ruach HaKodesh, but it was not on the level of Ruach HaKodesh that it was part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanach. It seems that there's a tradition. There's some tradition going back to Sinai that there will be Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanach. It wasn't just that. They happened to finish it, and now we count them. It's all said and done. It's 20. What's missing from the Dead Sea Scrolls? Megillas Esther. That's very telling. That's very interesting. So you see over here the struggle. You see the struggle here that Esther went and she insisted. It's not just that it was written. It was written by Mordechai. It was written by the Anshei Knesses HaGadol. But it was her demand, Kisvuni Ledoirois. and they told her we can't. In reference to Mechiyas Samolek, there are psukim. The pasuk says that Soiv Zoy Zikodon Basefer. So Chazal, they darshan from that pasuk, "Kesov zosikar ba'sefer," that there's only going to be the mention of Mechiyas HaMolek is only going to be mentioned in Chamishay. Let me see if I could find it. Probably can't, but give me one moment. Let me see. Perek Tes, pasuk Chav Tes. Kima the Kibul by Ma'ela. Here we go. By Tichtoiv Esther. Okay. Sholcho Lohem Esther Lachachamim. Kivuni Lidoyois. Establish me Lidoyois. Sholcho Lohem. That's a different chazal. That's the kinah. You're going to create jealousy. Okay, I don't have the chazal. But basically, it was her koyach which brought about the fact that Megillah says there is part of the Chof Dalet Sifrei Tanakh, and therefore it is appropriate that it's called Megillas Esther and not Megillas Mordechai. Okay, another very interesting reason, I saw this over here in the Mishpat Zayzav, why we call Megillas Esther is because there are two people who are Moser Nefesh in this Megillah. Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai refused to bow down to Haman. This was an act of Mesiras Nefesh. Mordechai could have lost his life in a moment. And Mordechai was willing. He was more than willing to go Al Kiddush Hashem. He got lucky. Haman decided, you know what, Vayivez Be'inav, it's not right in his eyes, it's a little low in his eyes to kill Mordechai alone. Instead, he wanted to wipe out the entire nation. He got away with it. Who else was Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael? Esther. Esther went, Uvavoyolef Nehamelech, she went to the palace uninvited. That was a capital offense, and miraculously she survived. So from these two people, who of these two people deserve that the Megillah should be called after their name? It's a toss-up. Or maybe we should say it's both. It's both Megillas Mordechai and Esther. Why call it Esther more than call it Mordechai? So the answer is as follows. Between these two, which one did not have to be Moser? Which one was whose act of Mesiras Nefesh was greater? The answer is Esther. Because Esther basically was a mitzvah v'oiseh. She had no choice. We know the general rule that gadol mitzvah v'oiseh mimi she'enay mitzvah v'oiseh. Esther was in a situation where she had to be Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael to go into the king and ask him to do something. Mordechai did not. If Mordechai really wanted, Mordechai could have just avoided Haman. Mordechai, he knew the schedule of Haman. He knew that Haman made himself known to Avodah Zarah. He could just, whenever Haman comes out of the palace, he can very conveniently not be there and will not be put into this situation. It was not necessary for Mordechai to do what he did. He decided, you know what? I want to do it. I want to go make an example for Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael was nichshol in the Aveira, bowing down to the Tzelm during the time of the Nebuchadnezzar. Klal Yisrael over here, they were nene from the Sudas HaChashverosh. I feel the time is the man that I go and I do something. Lefnim Mishuras Hadin. I'm going to make it my business to be present when Haman comes out of the palace and Bedafka, not bow down to him, but to show him up and to inspire Klal Yisrael. But that was not necessary. So even though in truth he was Moser Nefesh, but a Mesiras Nefesh that was not absolutely necessary does not get the credit that it's recorded. And what is the proof to this? This is what he cites, an incredible, really solid proof. Avraham Avinu. In the Torah, there's almost absolutely no mention, just a barely a remez, and Avraham Avinu was Moser Nefesh for Hashem to die Al Kiddush Hashem. Avraham Avinu, we know that he refused to bow down to Nimrod. He took the idols of his father and he smashed the idols of his father. And Nimrod then said to him, you don't want to bow down to me, you don't want to bow down to the destroying the idols of your father, I'll kill you, I'll throw you into the Kivshon Esh. And Avraham Avinu miraculously survived. Avraham Avinu did not need to put himself in this situation. If Avraham Avinu wanted, he could have just, my father, he has a store and he sells idols, so I don't work for my father. I'll go out on my own. I'll make my own business. Avraham Avinu has to go into his father's store and smash the idols? That wasn't necessary. Avraham Avinu has to go and stand exactly the same exact when Nimrod comes out. He has to stand there and present himself in front of Nimrod and then not bow down. Avraham Avinu could have avoided Nimrod and avoided the conflict and the confrontation if he so wished. Avraham decided, no, I want to show, I want my life to have some value. I should go down. And this world is a person who went and stood up to the Avodah Zarah. I'm willing to die al Kiddush Hashem. It just so happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Rachmanis and Avraham Avinu, and miraculously he survived. But this was not required of him to do this. Therefore, the Torah does not record it. It's not explicit in the Pasuk. It's only known to us through Midrashim. It's only known to us Derech Remes. On the other hand, the Akedah, Yitzchak, when he went and he was put on the Akedah, and when Avraham sacrificed him, that is recorded. Why is that recorded? You could say it's also a medrash. Let's say we would not record the Akedah. You can say it was a medrash. Hashem came to Avraham in a dream, and he told him, I want you to go and sacrifice Yitzchak. What would have been so terrible if the Akedah would not have been in the Torah? The Akedah would not have been recorded. It would be a medrash. So it would be a medrash. It would be the same thing. No, the Torah goes to the point I actually mentioned, because Godol mitzuve v'oise mimi she'ena mitzuve v'oise. When you have... What?
All of Mordechai stuff is recorded.
Mordechai lo yichra v'lo yishtachav. It's true, but when it comes to the Megillah being called after his name, he is sidelined. You're right. He is recorded. He didn't have to do it. You're right. Megillah is still, it's not Chamishah Chamishah Torah. It's more of a Megillah. It's more of a story. But now we have an issue. We have a dilemma. What should be the title of the Megillah? There are two major players, Esther and Mordechai. Esther did not have a choice. Your nation is in danger. You have to go. This is what's called of. This is what is called of you. You're a mitzvah to go save your people, to go before the Achashverosh and demand mercy for Klal Yisrael. You don't have a choice. That's what you're here for in this world. Mordechai didn't have to do all this, so everything is holding. Therefore, for that reason, we call the Megillah Esther. We don't call the Megillah Mordechai. Similar to Avraham Avinu versus Takedas Yitzchak, Avraham Avinu's actions are not even recorded, because when you're not mitzvah v'oise, it's not. It's a nice thing, but it doesn't reach the league of being mitzvah v'oise, having an obligation. You have an obligation. You're in a different frame of mind. If this is your role, your mission, you're completely your frame of mind is completely different, and the way you do it and the achana for doing the mitzvah is in a different league, and that explains why it's called Megillas Esther.
The Gemara says that the reason they don't mention the Avraham and the Kitchener Eish and breaking the idols and all these other things is for the simple reason, you're not supposed to put the big mice in Nefesh when you don't have to.
Right. It's not a model. It's not a model.
Yeah, but Ezra makes an interesting point over here when it says, Esi Geris Hapu Rimad Zos Hashem is. Mordechai wrote a Megillah. He left out, in other words, what you just said, Mordechai didn't mention
all of his.
Esther wrote a second
edition.
When it says AC Garris Hapurim Azot,
second edition.
She wrote an updated version, and she said, "Don't be afraid to write what really happened."
So saying very chiddush. You're saying there was the Megillah of Mordechai, and there's the Megillah of Esther. So that's why it's called Megillas Esther, in contrast to Megillas Mordechai. It's the Sheinis.
She wrote it, and then she.
Okay, so a whole new mahalach, two Megillas, and therefore we lay on poor Megillas Esther, and not Megillas Mordechai.
Did not say all these things, but it was important. She felt
important.
Missed her,
and that's why very good.
Who wouldn't understand? We have all these things.
It's a major chiddush, an incredible chiddush. Okay, let's see the Targum Pasuk of Tess. Targum says, Uche Savas Esther Malkus Savas Avichayel Mordechai Hayudi Yos Kol Negilto Hoda Yos Tokva Denisa. He's translating the Pasuk, and there are words that are missing from this Pasuk. A lot of these Pasukim in the Megillah are, they're missing words. And the only way the Pasuk makes sense is by embellishing the Pasuk with the missing words. And that's exactly what Rashi did, and that's exactly what the Targum does. Targum is Tokfa Denisa. Toikef means the Toikef, because I told you before another interpretation from another, I saw this in the Mefarshim, is called Toikef. Toikef does not mean Toikef Denisa. Toikef means the Toikef, the power of government. because the Jewish people were afraid to celebrate the miracle publicly because it would be like putting a thorn in the eyes of their enemies. They felt they were afraid for their lives. Maybe now, a year later, no one's watching, the Goyim will take revenge. So she had to use the toikef, the power of government protection, that they can celebrate the holiday without any worries. But that's not the way Rashi and the way the Targum translates the word toikef. Toikef, they say, is missing a word. It's not the toikef of the garment, it's the toikef of the nisa. All of the bells and whistles, all the little details of the miracle was recorded l'kayama yos igarta de puraya hoda sin ye nusa, the second letter of Purim. The second letter, which Rashi told us, means that the letter was sent in the second year to remind them they should observe the Yom Tov the following year as well. Pasuk Lamed, Vayishlach Sefarim al Kol HaYudim al Sheva V'Yeshem Umei HaMedina Malchus HaChashverosh Divrei Shalom VeEmes. They send letters. Now, what exactly does this mean? This seemingly is an entirely new theme. There is no Rashi. Let's see the Targum. Ushadar Pitkin. Pitkin means letters. Levos Kol Yehudoin Lema'ov Asrin Ushra Pilchin Malchus HaChashverosh Piskame Shlomo. Letters of peace V'Heim Nusa and faith. Shalom VeEmes. Now, it's not really clear exactly what this is going back on. It's going back on the previous, when it says that she wrote L'kayim Esi Geres HaPrim Azos HaShenis, and that's what it means, is the Pasuk Lamed, the continuation of Pasuk Chavtes. Similarly it is. The Purim, the Geres HaPurim Hazos HaShenis was sent forth. But why then does it say there was Divrei Shalom VeEmes? So it's not really so clear. Now, there is a lot of significance in the fact that these two words, Shalom and Emes. What? Yeah? What does he say?
He says, Shalom is Shalom Yifchadu Bahu She'azul Mitzvah Spurim.
Yeah.
Shouldn't be afraid. And Emes is Shein Chayavim Lishma Ha'afurim Kasher Kibu
Omna. No, I'll tell you one over. Shouldn't be afraid.
But I don't understand what they shouldn't be afraid of.
That's what you said before, because the guy wouldn't be.
What she wrote was not
no,
exactly
the
Lord.
It says, "Let
me see." They were afraid to observe Purim. They were afraid because by observing Purim, they're celebrating the downfall of their enemies, and that was a great sakana. That was
a balancing act, writing about Ahasuerus because he was still alive. And that's why we whitewash him a little bit, because they didn't want to insult him too much in the Megillah, even though he was equally guilty as Haman. He took it, he said, "Hey, keep your money, we'll kill the Jews for you."
She'ozvu mitzvahs, they should not be afraid. Bavur she'ozvu mitzvahs Purim.
In the past, doesn't make sense.
I don't know. The MS, the Tan MS, Shahim Chayavim Lushmo HaPurim, Kasher Kiblu Al Nafsham, Vihoed Al Zea Perish Shahu MS, Omamar Esther Kiandi Reper Moelem, Hinele Niskaim Al Yad Mordechai Levadu Achnecht of Esther to Lester. Okay, maybe it seems that according to Ibn Ezra, it doesn't mean the second year. Rashi says it was in the second year. Ibn Ezra seems to say there was a gap. It seems that maybe they were makabel upon themselves to observe Purim. They didn't fulfill their promise. And now 10 years passed. And after 10 years passed, says, "Don't worry. Even though you failed to observe it in the past, it's time for you to renew your commitment to Purim. And don't be afraid that the goyim are that you're putting a thorn in their eyes. You're not. Don't worry. Don't worry. You have to have pride. That this is one of the lessons. One of the lessons of Purim is you have to have Jewish pride. Don't be afraid. We had this discussion many times about this." About Satmar, I keep on seeing this being written up in other different forms. Is that there were many Satmar Hasidim? I'm not trying to promote Satmar. I'm not a Satmar Chassid. But when the Satmar Rebbe, there was a lot of opposition to renewing Satmar in America the way it was in Europe. The Satmar Rebbe insisted nothing has changed. It's whatever was in Satmar in Poland, it's going to be the same.
In Romania,
it's going to be the same Satmar, the Zelbazach, the same Satmar in America. And the Hasidim, they were Hasidim that made Litzonis. Okay, you got to read the books. I've seen this. There were Hasidim who came to America. They dressed like American citizens. They they abandoned all of their old minhagim, and they said, not in America. You're not going to transplant Satmar. And he basically said, no, you have to have pride. You have to have Jewish pride, and you have to, nothing is the same. And among his Hasidim, you see what's going on today. I mean, they he succeeded. They have no shame whatsoever in
So we quote you out of context.
No shame whatsoever.
How does this tie into wearing a palace in the street? It seems like we should wear a
palace. Hey, Nachanami, so different strokes for different folks. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky had a very different opinion. In the Megillah, there has to be a balance, obviously. There is a balance. Rabbi Yaakov, there's a balance between how far you go. Esther over here is telling them in this pasuk, these last three parakim are very critical for Galus. The last three parakim of the Megillah is the chasima. It's not really the end, because we have Ezra and Nehemiah, which are written at a later point in time. But the messages of Megillah Esther are very critical for living a life in Galus. The messages, and part of that is Divrei Shalom Emes. Don't be afraid. It's called Toikef Igeres Hapurim Hazos Hashem. And then, as the Ibn Ezra says, Divrei Shalom Emes, don't be afraid. Just because you in Galus have pride in your heritage and live a Jewish life without any worries. Okay, now these two words are very powerful words, Shalom Emes. The reason why they're very powerful is because it's Badafka, these two words that opposed to the creation of the world. Everyone, there's a very famous says, Hashem came to create the world. Hashem had a consultation with the Malachim. Hashem said, should we create the world? So for the Briyas Olam, Hashem called my creator Malachim. And said, what do you think? So the Malach Chesed came forward and says, yes, create a world, create man, because man will be Molei Chesed. But then Sholoim, you remember the full Medrash? Then Sholoim, God came for and says, no, Ribbono Shel Olam, don't create the world, because man is kula ketata. They fight. They do nothing more than fight. And then Hashem said, there was another Malach that said to create the world. I don't remember remember the other Malach? Chesed, Yivra. There were four Malachim, if I'm not mistaken. But to the two Malachim that opposed, the point of the two Malachim that opposed to creation was the Malach of Shalom and the Malach of Emes. The Malach of Shalom says, human beings are Molei Ketata. They are full of strife. The Malach of Emes said, Kula Sheker. The essence of man is false, Sheker. So what did Hashem do? It was a tie. It was a tie, two Malachim against two Malachim. So Hashem said, okay, I'm going to take Emes, and Hashem threw Emes into the ground. Hashem hashlef Emes Arza. Hashem dismissed. So now you're only two against one. There were two Malachim that said create. It was Chesed, and I don't remember, anyone who recalls the other Malach? The other is another Malach. It was two Malachim, and so now it's two against one. So therefore, Hashem proceeded to create the world. Now, what's the problem? The problem is. But what about Em? What about Shalom? What? Din? Maybe it was Din. Could be okay. Could be it was Din. Chesed and Din said to create, and MS man is a man of justice. But MS and Sheker and Shalom said, do not create. Hashlech MS Aretz, Hashem dismissed MS, and now it's two against one, and the Holchmach HaRoiv, and we proceed to create the world. The problem is, what about Shalom? So the common Jewish is that once there's no MS, you're allowed to lie in the darkest Shalom. Shalom's not a problem anymore. Because the only reason why man is kula ketata is when you have pure shalom. But once you've dismissed MS, mishanin mipnei darke shalom. You're allowed to lie for darke shalom. And one of the last things, Gedina, the administrator of Torah Vedas, he said at the airport, at the cargo area of Rabbi Belsky, he took over the yeshiva like a couple of years ago. After I don't know all the politics, but there were a lot of meetings with the board, and he said this in the Hesped, that he told Rav Gedina, whatever you do, just make sure you say the truth. All of your dealings with you know, donors and everything that you do in running the yeshiva, just make sure you say the emes for a very practical reason. Because if you don't say the emes, you'll always have to keep cheshven of what you said, what you said yesterday, to keep cheshven. If you just say the emes, you don't have to keep cheshven. You don't have to keep cheshven of all the lies to make sure everything matches. So just stick with the emes and you'll be okay. So what now? So it's fascinating over here is that Esther, the Megillah Esther, concludes on a note of divrei shalom emes. The world at this point in time achieved what it did not achieve at the time of creation. That's how significant the end of a Purim is. Because in the time of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there were two opposing midos to the creation of the world. Shalom and Emes. Emes had to be dismissed. By dismissing Emes, you're also Mamela, you're being Masakein Shalom. Once, the only reason why Shalom is object is because Shalom has to be pure. But once already you're allowed to lie, Mibnei Darkei Shalom, so you could have a Shalom in this world that's not 100%. A Shalom that's built on Sheker, it's also good. As long as the Shalom is Shalom, even if it's built on Sheker, it's also a Darga that the world can survive on. But all of that was only a Bidiyevet. The miracle of Purim created such a revelation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in this world. It was such a boost. You can't even begin to imagine the boost of morale, the boost of acknowledgement that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present within our daily lives. We recognize this. The world recognizes. The Megillah concludes, she sent a letter of Divrei Shalom Vo'emes. We've achieved in this generation, in the time of Purim, what was not achieved even in the time of creation. That's how far this miracle has taken us. Because these two worlds are the two words which oppose the creation of the world. The world is a world of Hester Panim. Hashem built a world where Hashem hides himself. And if you can see HaKadosh, when Hashem hides himself, that allows for the opening of Ketata, of Machloikis, and of Sheker. But now in a generation when we can see, we can touch, we can see Hashem is here, I mean, in the Olam HaTeva, we have already Shalom Emes.
What, when you said Allah Ozu, whites in the pit,
yes,
the Eben Ezra continues the next couple of verses.
Yeah.
What it seems to be is the Breyatz Omos Zak Osom. Initially, the focus was to fast, not kind of says the days that they fasted, which were Pesach time. Mm-hmm. And they let that go. That did not become Hannah. So initially, there was a difference of opinion. That's what needed, but they let that go, and that's what they had. So they did not warrant Mekayim the 3-day fast that they had, because that's what brought about the Yeshua, as far as they were concerned.
Maybe. Interesting.
It was the difference of opinion. So don't be afraid.
Just because.
Leave that alone and just celebrate Purim on the day that we celebrate Purim, and not the 3-day fast, which was in Nisan.
Very good. Very interesting.
That's what I believe he says in the next paragraph.
Okay, now let's go to the next pasuk. Lamed Aleph, L'kayim Esim Yapunim Oyel B'Zmanehem. B'Zmanehem is Bloshon Rabim. This is a Gemara. B'Zmanim many days. Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Aleph, Tezvav. Five days. Kasher Kiyam Aleim Mordechai Hayudiv Yasa Malka. Just as they observed these days. V'Kasher Kimu Al Nafsham V'Al Zaram. As they accepted, they committed themselves upon themselves V'Al Zaram. Divrei Hatzamos. They accepted also the words of Tzomos, of fasting, Vizakos, Sam, and Tzfilah. Let's see, Rashi, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Let's see, the Targum, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Rashi, the Targum says, L'kayom yos yomi pudayi hoilem ba'adar ba'asra. So here what it says, Bizmanehem. To observe it ba'adar ba'asra. The Targum says in Ador Sheni, Bizman Ibura, in the Zman of the Ibur, meaning the extra month that was added to the calendar, Heichmo, just like the Koyem Alehon Mordechai Yehudoe, the Esther Malkasa, the Heichmo, just like the Kaimu Yehudoe, the Jews, Al Naf Shahoin, the Albinehon, the children, Lemehevoin, the Chidin, they should remember, Piskomei. So he's adding in over here one very important word. Okay, he's adding in over here to explain Pshat the Pasuk, the invisible word is Dichirin, they should remember. The purpose of observing the Yom Tov of Purim is to remember that in the time of Purim, we fasted and we cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the purpose. Okay,
that's why a lot of people wanted to continue the 3-day fast. A 3-day
fast, even on Pesach. Well, so it's hard to say.
Yeah, but this is there was a difference.
On Pesach also.
To let it go, maybe that's what we have to do now.
All right, that's a very big chiddush, to fast even on Pesach. But it says they should remember the piskomet somaya utzuluson, the fasting and the davening. So the purpose of this pasuk is they should remember the ikar part of the miracle is to remember the fact that lech kinos es kol hayudim anim tzim b'shushan v'tzumu olai v'altochlu v'altishtu. That is the purpose of Purim, to remember the fact that we fasted on these days. Now, the Targum here mentions, he throws in something which is very, very interesting, is that Bizmanehem, the reason why it says Bizmanehem, plural, is that it should be observed in the second Adar. Now, that's a very interesting question, because generally Adar Sheni is not the real Adar. And for that, for example, for a bar mitzvah, and for yard sites, for many areas in halacha, when a person, something happens to a person, Adar, and when a year when there's only one Adar, and then it's the anniversary, and the anniversary is a year when there's a double Adar, the anniversary is observed in Adar Rishon, Bar Mitzvah. A person is born in a year when there's only one Adar, and his Bar Mitzvah is a year when there are two Adars. Which Adar does he celebrate the Bar Mitzvah? Adar Rishon. A yard site is observed in Adar Rishon. So Purim is the exception. And that is a very big chiddush. So why is it so? So the Gemara has a drasha. We want to be samech geula legeula. It should be recognized that the miracle of Purim is aschalto de geula. Just like we want to be samech geula legeula, goyel rishayin and the goyel acharon. Moshe Rabbeinu said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shlachna biyat tishlach. If this is not going to be the geula ha'asida, I don't want to get involved. I only want the real deal. Hashem says, too bad, even though it's not going to be the final geula, but it's going to be part of the process. So Megillas Esther, the miracle of Purim, is, we come back to this idea many times, is the aschalto de geula. In fact, we mentioned it was a letdown. Mordechai could have been the Melech HaMashiach. And this could have been the time. It was a lost opportunity. The Mashiach was in their grasp of their hands, and they let it slip away. They did not go a little bit more to appreciate, to seize the moment to bring the Geula. So even though it was a failure and Mashiach did not come, the experience at least opened up the recognition that the Geula is just around the corner. It was the Aschal to Geula, and as a critical reminder of that theme, that it wasn't just not a miracle. It has to be right next to Chodesh Nisan to fulfill this concept of Insoimech Geula Le Geula. So that's what it says over here. Bizmanehem. Bizmanehem over here means in two different Zmanim. There's the real Zman, the Zman Adar Rishayin, that's in a year when there's only one Adar. Bizmanehem, and there's a year when there's a double Adar, we're going to celebrate it in a different Zman. Really, it should have been the first Adar, but now that there's a double Adar, we celebrated Bizmanehem in the second Adar. Some in fact learned that the year when Mordechai, the year of the miracle itself happened, there's another reason why we celebrate the Adar Sheni, was according to some calculations, I think the Chasam Sefer deals with this, is that it was a year when there was a double Adar. When Mordechai, he made the Goyrol, he didn't know what he was doing, he didn't realize that this year, when he made the Goyrol, it was a double Adar. So he cast a lot. He wasn't really making the dates were not accurate, because it was indeed the miracle took place on the double Adar, one the Bezdin at that point in time when there's a sakana, they were ma'aber the shana, something along those lines. What?
Did the girl, it was way before.
Way before they were Ma'abra the Shana. Or maybe they already were Makadish, they had already a calculation. Maybe it was the year where it was assumed it was going to be an Ibiya because of Chodesh Ha'aviv. I don't know. It's a big mystery. There's no clarity in this point in the year when the poor miracle happened. the year when Purim happened, was it an Ibiyar? Targum over here is saying something very interesting. It was an Ibiyar. They were masaking. Why? Well, the Gemara says, Gula Gula, but Targum, but there's also a Savar to say is that since we're coming to reenact the miracle, and the miracle occurred in Adar Sheni, it's only logical that in a year when there's an Adar Sheni, we should then observe the miracle in Adar Sheni, because that would be true according to Halacha. Okay, now let's see, Pasuk Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis says, Mamar Esther Kiyam, Divrei HaPurim Mo'ilu V'Nichtav HaSefer, and the Mamar of Esther, they fulfilled. Mamar Esther Kiyam. The word of Esther was fulfilled. Divrei HaPurim Mo'ilu V'Nichtav HaSefer. Again, another Pasuk which is very hard to translate. You can translate the words. The word of Esther was fulfilled, the words of the Purim, these, and it was written in a book. Obviously, there's a lot that's missing in this Pasuk to give the Pasuk a degree of satisfaction. Rashi, Lamed Beis, says, Mamar Esther, he comes to fill in some of the missing words. Esther biksha me'es chachne hador l'kavo, to establish it, v'lichtav sefer ze imshar ha'kisuvim. V'zehu v'nichtav ha'sefer, this is where it alludes to the fact that it was accepted. Now, isn't that repetition? Didn't we say exactly the same thing above when we said v'atichtav Esther Malka? We started today with Pasuk Chavtes. And in Pasuk Chavtes it says v'atichtav Esther Hamalka bas Avichayil. So here again, this theme is being repeated. It's not clear why there's so much repetition and verbosity. But here's what Rashi says, Esther biksha me'is nach me'adon l'kovol, to establish the holiday, v'lichtov sefer zeh, imshor ha'kesuvim, v'zehu v'nichtov ha'sefer. So the mamar is what? The request, according to Rashi's interpretation, the request of Esther was fulfilled, divrei ha'purim oila, with Chazal rubber stamping the days of these Purim. But then we learned that the Klal Yisrael on their own observe Purim. They also, we discussed this idea, they established it as a holiday. Then we learned that Mordechai added, it's not just going to be a day of Simcha Mishta, it's going to be in Mishlochma, it's going to be Matanis Lev Yonim. So I think over here, and then we have over here reading the Megillah. So it comes out, there appears to be something more. Klal Yisrael established something. Then Mordechai established even more. And then it seems that Esther, on top of what Klal Yisrael established, on top of what Mordechai established, she also added different elements into the Yom Tov itself. Where exactly do we see her contribution? That's not clear. But that's seemingly what Rashi over here says. Now let's see the Targum Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'al Meimor Esther Iskayumu Piskami Pura, through the Meimor, through the request of Esther, it was established Piskame Pura Yohilain, this the Piskam, the law of Purim, V'al Yidod Mordechai, and look what it says over here, the Targum, not like what it says in Rashi, V'al Yidod Mordechai Ich Iski Savas Megilta Bipitka. And through Mordechai, it was written the Megillah, the Pitka, seemingly in the canon, was listed, was included in the canon. So is it really? But didn't say in the pasuk before that Vatichtoiv Esther? Esther wrote the Megillah. Okay, so it's a lot of things going on over here. I don't have any good answers. I didn't really see. I looked around. I didn't see any season which really explains it. All right, but. Okay, one of the points is that the Fatih Toiv is written with a big tuff. We didn't mention this. Back in Pasuk Chof Tes. Fatih Toiv Esther Hamalka Vasavichayil. Why is the tuff written with a big letter? So the Mefarsh, I think, gives the Medrash is because it's the last of the books. Tav is the last letter of the Aleph Beis, and Esther, it was accepted that when the Anshei Knesses Hagadoyla agreed to include Megillas Esther as part of the 24 books, it was agreed that that's it. It's sealed. No one can come along now at any point in time and add more books into the canon. The Tav means the last letter of the Aleph Beis, and as we mentioned before, there are two last letters of the Aleph Beis. There's the letter Shin and the letter Tav. The letter Shin represents the most in Gashmias. The letter Tav represents the end, the most in Ruchnias. The canon is Kodesh, the Sifrei Kodesh, Tanakh. So this is going to be the big tough. It's the last letter of the Sifrei Kodesh, the holy message, the Ruach HaKodesh of the Tanakh is going to be included. Now, there, by the way, the truth is there are really three letters in the Megillah that are large. What are the three letters? The Tav of Atichtov, the Ches of Chor, Karpas, and Secheles, and the Vav of Vayizosa. So what's the significance of Tav, Ches, and Vav? So the modern Mefarshim say it alludes to, we mentioned this, is the Vav, the Elef Hashishi, the Vav is the sixth, the year 6000, the year Elef Hashishi of Tach. The year 400, the year of the Hebrew year of Tach, 408. What was 408? Tach v'tat. 408, 409 is the Gzeres in Poland of the Chmelnytsky massacres. The Chmelnytsky massacres in Tach v'tat. And as we mentioned, that goes, that fits in what we said from the Yismach Moshe, is that v'divrei ha'pumela lo yavu mitoch ha'yehudim. There was a Gzeres. The gzeir was lahashmid laharu gulabes kol ayudim minavi adzok in tafna shem yom echad, and what Purim did was it just pushed the gzeir off. It did not completely annul, although Mordechai and Esther petitioned Achashverosh to annul the decree, he refused. The gzeir was still in force. The only thing he would be able to do is to counteract that gzeir with Yukoyach of Tfilah and Tshuva, and to some degree the fact that it was delayed is what allowed Klal Yisrael to survive. This Yismach Moshe is a very, very spooky thing to say. And he goes on to say that's why there are three letters in the Megillah: Tav, Ches, Vav. Vav is the Vav for Elef, the sixth millennium, which and the Tav Ches is the year, and it was in that year when Rachman Litzlan, when part of the Gezer of the Megillah was fulfilled in the most gruesome way in Tach V'tat. Now what about the Holocaust? That's even worse. Holocaust is even worse. What?
It ended
on Tach. Whatever. So that's what we have. We have these letters.
Because we don't see that anyone, the Goyim, who had the right to kill.
What? During Purim?
Yeah.
Purim, they did not kill.
We don't know that they did.
We
killed 75,000 of them, but how many of them did stood up to
it
fight?
Seems none. It's not recorded, not even one. Part of the miracle, not even one. Okay, this...
Again, the Ebenezer makes a point of saying that the word Basefer instead of Busefer,
yeah,
it's like a Hayadiyah, and therefore it means that it was included in the canon.
Ah. The Patach. Ba Sefer is like the Hayidia. Ah, very nice. It's included Mamish, and that's really nice. That's the Hayidia in the books. The books, the real book is the Chavtal Sifrei Tanakh. Okay, now what's the word? Before we conclude, there's a book someone mentioned this book. I finally got a chance to read it yesterday. I spent yesterday a few hours reading this book on the I forgot the author. I forgot the author the whole day. Foreman? The Queen You Thought You Knew. So the Queen that you thought you knew. I think that's the name of the book. It's a book that came out about 2-3 years ago by a rabbi. I think his name is Foreman. Foreman on Megillas Esther. And it's an analysis. An analysis of Megillas Esther. He has some very, very fascinating ideas in the big thrust of his book. He tries to show that a lot of the things that Esther and Mordechai did were political. Like you could look at the Megillah, like everything just happened the way it came out. It just happened. Or you could look, every decision was a public statement. It was all publicity. It was all you don't have to know how to deal with the media. It's like, you know, it fits very good into this generation, everything is all about knowing how to play the media. You have to know what to say, because you have to know how the media works. Everything depends how the media, you have to feed the media sound bites, what they want to hear. You have to know how they will react, and use that to your advantage to succeed and advance your agenda. Right, that's the whole koyach of all the politicians. The politicians who are successful today in the modern world are politicians who understand the media. They understand when to say something, what to say, what to expect, and to know how to use that towards your advantage. So he has a lot of different ideas to show that Mordechai and Esther, everything they were doing, they weren't just stop doing. They were doing it because it was a public statement. They knew how to manipulate the media. Okay, it's an interesting idea you can play around. But then he goes on at the end of the book, he has a few short chapters where he talks about, he spends a lot of time talking about the idea of Hafaras Nedarim. Hafaras Nedarim and Hataras Nedarim. Parashas Matos, beginning of Parashas Matos, there's the law where if a wife makes a neder, so the husband has 24 hours to Biyom Shmo Isha Yoni Osa the Hefer. Okay, so maybe we should talk a little. I want to read the pasuk. So he has a very big chiddush. The very big chiddush. I'm reading a drush in the pasuk where he says it's critical to understand the Megillah. Okay, let me get the chumash. And his idea really comes to a highlight, comes to its crescendo with this pasuk. His yisod. Okay, let me just go tell you the basic yisod, and then I'll show you what he says about this pasuk. It's very, very interesting. Okay, so we go to Parshas Matos. Okay, Parshas Matos. Think about beginning of July. Soon going to be Tisha B'Av. Then it's going to be Shabbos Nachamu. Let's see, Bullock, Pinchas, Matos. Okay, so here we have Vimbeis Isho Nadara. If a woman makes a vow in the home of her husband, Isho with a mapike means her husband. Isha means a wife, but Isha with a mapike is the other way, means a husband. Nadara, Oyasra Isho Navsha Bishvua. Now comes the critical part. Vishama Isho. Her husband hears what she has done, her vow. Vehecherishlo. And he's silent. He does not annul the decree. Oh, you do not annul the decree. Guess what? The kamu kol nidoreha. Then the vow will stand. The cholisa shasral nafsha yakum. It will be. It will be. It will remain. But im hafer yafer oisa mishah. But if her husband annuls the vow, biyom shamo, then kol motzas vasel nidrech yisrael nafshol lo yekum, they will not stand yisrael hafiram v'Hashem yislach lo, Hashem has annulled the vow and Hashem will forgive her. Now, so here he says, let's first review a very powerful yisod of Hataras Nedarim. A husband hears his wife make a vow. The clock is ticking. He has 24 hours to do one of two things. Either he can annul the vow, be made for the now, and say, my wife, you made a vow, you're not going to eat chicken, I want to annul this vow. Or if he wants, he can say, excellent, you've made a vow, you're not going to eat a certain thing, excellent, I affirm the vow. I'm making the vow. Okay, those are the two possible choices. What happens if he's silent? Now, if the Torah would not tell us otherwise, what would you say? What would you say? If you were writing the Torah, wife makes a vow, you can affirm the vow, or you can annul the vow. Let's say you're silent. So we'll wait. As long as the husband does not annul or affirm, let it just remain in a state of limbo forever. In the meantime, l'chumra, she won't be allowed to eat the food. But the husband could always come along later on and say, I changed my mind. Or the husband could affirm the vow. And by affirming the vow, it will make it too late for him to change his mind at a later point in time. Why can't we allow the vow to remain in a state of limbo perpetually until he makes a decision? That is possibly what the average mind would think if he would be, one, given the task to write the rules of making a vow. Along comes the Torah and says an incredible chiddush, an incredible, incredible Musar Haskel. There's no such thing as letting something remain in limbo. When you are makabel upon yourself to do something, it has to go one way or another. If you don't, the clock is ticking. Time is a creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the most, we always discuss this idea, time is the greatest davar hagashmi. In the Olam HaEmes, there's no such thing as Hoya, Hova, V'yeh, it's all the same. When a woman makes a vow, if the husband does not affirm the vow, it automatically becomes affirmed within 24 hours if he is silent. Now here's what he says. The word hafar, why is the Megillah called Purim? Why is the holiday called Purim? The Megillah says, Pur hu ha-gorol. Pur is a lottery, the word for lottery in Persian. Goyrol is a word for lottery in Hebrew. So we asked this question before. We gave the popular answer because poor has a negative connotation and the goyrol has a positive connotation. Poor generally has a negative connotation, but and the goyrol has a positive. But the poor hama nebach lepurenu, we want to recognize there was whatever. There are two different words. I take it back. I don't remember what we said, but there are two different words. So he says here that even though it's true the word poor means a lottery in Persian, but the word poor is the shoresh of the word for hafara, for annulment. Annulment. The whole essence of the Yom Tov of Purim is there was a gezeira on Klal Yisrael, lahashmid, laharog, ulaabed, eskol hayehudim minar v'adzokin. There was a gezeira. What are we celebrating on Purim? We're celebrating the hafara, the annulment of this gezeira ra. Another example. Why is Yom HaKippurim called Yom HaKippurim? It's a day of annulment. Yom HaKippurim is a day of slicha u'mechila v'yomer Hashem solachti chidvarecha. It was the gezerah on Klal Yisrael of Churban. Only through Moshe Rabbeinu, his tefillah, was Moshe able to annul, to be mefer the gezerah on Klal Yisrael. Now, Esther was presented with knowledge of this gezerah. Mordechai says to Esther, Esther, guess what? It's a gzera to destroy Klal Yisrael. So what did Esther want to do? Let it remain in a state of limbo. The gzera is out there. I have an opportunity to do something to annul the gzera. I have an opportunity. So let's wait for the right time to make that decision. Mordechai told her, "Im hacharesh tacharishi bo'es hazos, revach v'atzala yamol aydin imokal mecha v'yanaves avich tovedu." You can't wait. The laws of HaTorah, Hafaras Nedarim are: if a gezerah has gone into play, has gone into effect, and you become aware of it, you have a very, very short window to annul the gezerah. You want to be hacharesh tacharishi lo es hazos. You're acting like the husband who hears that his wife made a neder, that you're not going to eat a certain thing, and the husband decides he's going to be quiet. If you're going to be quiet for 24 hours, automatically the gezerah the goes into effect. You have to be made for it immediately. Therefore, Mordechai said to Esther, you have to step up to the plate. You have to be nefer the gezerah immediately. Then we're gonna have it nullified no matter what. So he teaches Isha. The whole Megillah is really captured in the pasuk Isha haferam v'Hashem yislach lo. He says, even though the way it's spelled in the Torah is with a dot in the hay, which means Isha, her husband, but the Megillah, for the purpose of Jewish, there are no dots in the Torah. It's really referring to Esther. Esther is the Isha, or the woman. The Isha hafarah. Hashem, Isha means she. She was the one. She was the one that annulled the gezerah. Isha, the woman. The woman meaning, without the dot, Esther, v'Hashem yislach lo, and Hashem, through her, Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the chait of bowing down to the Tselem, to Bingden and Mitzvah HaShverosh. That is why Purim is called Purim, because we annulled it, and that's what he says over here, the last pasuk of the Megillah. And then we have one more parak. The last parak is a very bizarre parak. But the last pasuk is this pasuk, the Mamar Esther Kiyam. Notice the word Kiyam. That's Hakoma. Divrei HaPurim. She was Mikayim the Hafara. Okay, it's a beautiful play on the words. The whole essence of Purim is not just that she was Mefer. It's like a long, it sounds like a lumbish.
Mekayim normally means the opposite.
She was Mekayim the Hafara. She was Mahapechid Nikotze Elakotze. It's a play, it's a very beautiful literature. It's not just a pshat that Esther, she was Mefer the Neder. She did a Hakoma on the Hafara Saneder. She took the halacha and she twisted it to the extreme. Very powerful stuff. And from Esther we learn the Musa Haskalah of the Megillah is seize the moment. That's really what it's all about. That's like that. That's like that's what he wants. This very foreman wants to say is the essence of the Megillah. Seize the moment. You have in Golis, you have a problem. Don't wait. You have to, because if you wait, it becomes like wet cement. There's nothing you can do. And say you finish. Once the guy puts his hands in the wet cement, you let it dry. I once asked the contractor, what happens? I asked the contractor, you're putting down the cement and we're going away. What happens if someone's going to come and put their hands in? Is there anything you can do tomorrow morning? So he says, there's nothing you can do. There's nothing. He was in the business already for 20 years.
Well, they do something.
They try to sand it.
Sand it down, or they just smooth it out.
It's not the same. Not the same. Always see it. He says, there's really nothing you can do. He says, it happened to him once. He said, he did a very good big job. He says, nothing you can do. And that's really what it says. There's a gezeira that has gone into effect. The clock is ticking. The clock is time. Time is a davar gashmi. If you let it just continue without doing anything, that's it. There's no hope. Hacharesh, tacharesh, la'is azos. You have to be made for the neder right away. Not only, because if you're not going to be made for the neder, then it's going to be, if the default is going to be a hakam. Esther, she know what she did? She was made for it, and she took the tools. She took the tools of Hakoma. She used the Hakoma to be made for. She went out of her way to an extreme. You know, it's interesting. She was made for it. Think about it. How was she made for it? Through silence. Come to the next party. She didn't tell him what Esther, what do you want? Like he said, what did Mordechai say to her? Double expression. Okay, I'm going to do something. What does she do? She goes to Achashverosh, come to a party. What do you want, Esther? I'm not telling you. I'm going to be silent. Come to another party. She used silence as a way, silence which is a form of hakama. She used that as a way of being mayfair, of undoing the gzera, and that's why it's called Purim. Okay, so this is his yisod, and fits beautifully into the very last pasuk of this, the very last pasuk here. Okay, now we come to the end. We'll just start the last list. We did the targum, right? Plame beis. We did the targum. Let's just start one pasuk, and we'll stop. Vayasamech Achashverosh shmas al aretz v'yehayam. Okay, this is a very hard parak. The last few psukim, Achashverosh, now he put a mass tax on the aretz and the yehayam. Now, by the way, how many, we know that in Achashverosh, I think the Gros says, how many medinas did Achashverosh rule over the world? The Megillah, 127. So the Gros says, the 127 was comprised of 100 plus 27. There were 127 areas on land, and there were 27 islands. How does the Gra know this? Because Mas, from this pasuk, Mas is Bigamatria 100, and it says the Mas was Al Ha'aretz. There was a Mas Al Ha'aretz over lands, and the EA is 27. The EA is 27. 2 Yud is 26, and 1 is 27. Hayam. So there were 27 islands and 100 provinces in the world that he ruled over. And he put on this tax. Now, what's the purpose of this tax? So, what does Rashi over here say? There is no Rashi. What does the Targum say? Vishavi Malka Achashverosh Kiraga. Kiraga means a head tax. There are different types of taxes. There's a land tax, there's an income tax, and there is a head tax. So, this is a specific tax, a tax, a head tax. Al Ara, the Haparche Yama, and the islands of the Yama. Why head? It's not really clear. Now, some want to say is that this tax was, it's a continuation of the miracle. The tax was to collect the money for the Jews. He wanted to give the Jews money to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. He wanted to raise money for the refugees. Okay, the Jews were refugees 70 years since the Beis HaMikdash. After the Jews were held in such high esteem, after the miracle of Purim, he wanted to enhanced their livelihood, because they were probably living in poverty at this point in time. They were all refugees, whoever was living in the country. So he issued a tax in order to raise money, in order to support the Jewish people. This is a chelik of the miracle of Purim. It's part of the aftermath. Okay, and then there's more, which we'll come to tomorrow.
The word MS, the very shalom of MS, the ancient word MS, was what Mark I wrote initially wasn't the truth. What Mark and I wrote initially wasn't the truth. She wrote the Megillah the way it was. It says when she wrote it, she wrote what really happened. He was whitewashed in this scenario.
He wrote it for the man. So he's not a riot from him, the realist.
90% are supportive of it.
Oh, good.
Some say that he, the way